Morning, church.
As Pastor Steve said, I'm Donovan, one of the elders in C3 at Kwinana. So I'm thankful to be here, and I thank Pastor Steve and Pastor Unami, the senior pastors, and the rest of the church and the pastors. Thanks for this opportunity. So today the message is entitled, you know, we're continuing on with the Just 10 series. So it's Commandment 8, you shall not steal. I should not steal. We should not steal. So, yeah. We go back to the story how the Ten Commandments come about when Moses had led the people out of Egypt. Let me just get my notes. And through the Red Sea, as we know. And they got into the wilderness, and we find that God spoke to Moses and said he should come up to the top of Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. And so Moses went up, and the Israelites stayed at the bottom. And then after a while, they started asking questions, asking Aaron, Moses' brother, where is Moses? You know, they're starting to get irritable. They were uncertain, and they were getting desperate. So it takes me back when I had just finished my schooling and still a young man, so I needed to look for a job. So where I live back in South Africa is just out of the city, about 45 minutes. A little town. So I had to go to the city to look for work. So I decided I'll take one of my, like a second cousin of mine that lived on the farm, just to accompany me, because you're going to a city, anything can happen. So took him with me. Francis went to the city, and I went straight to one of my cousins. He had just been newly married, but he was living with his in-laws. So we explained our situation. Look, we're coming to look for work here in the city. So is it okay if you can put us up for a night? And they said, no problem. And they were kind to us, gave us a plate of food, shower, slept. They said in the morning, one of the sons from the house, Les, was writing his last exam. And from that exam paper, we just wait for him, and then he could take us around because he's familiar with all the place and what's going on. And me and the guy Francis went to the school the next morning with Les. And then when we got there, Francis said, no, no, he's going to see his brother that lives not far from there. So I waited. And then when the guy finished his exam, he came back. We went back to the house just for him to take off his uniform and put on some change of clothes. And he went under the bed and his shoes, you know, his sneakers. You know, back in the day, you were proud of what you were wearing and what was the brand name and things like that. Oh, it's not there. So he opened the closet to take out a shirt or something, and there's some more things that are not there. So he went to see the maid and said, look, few things are missing in the house from my room. So she said, no, no, the guy that came with me came back and said, no, Les, the son had sent him back to fetch a few things because we're going on a journey. So she gave him a nice case. You know, not the one you got today, the zip up and the pull along. This was that old big hard case, the big one. You know, about that hard. Opened it up and he filled it up. Helped himself with whatever he could find. And on his way out, he took the turntable, the record player, with the speakers, and that weekend was the 21st birthday in that house. And gone. And it wasn't looking very good for me now. But lucky, my cousin and all of them said, no, no. That's for sure. I had nothing to do with this. But you see, the guy wanted to take the easy way out, the shortcut. He must have decided, no, I'm not going to look for work and work. Let me just grab some stuff, go back to the farm where he lives, sell it off or whatever. And so we go back to the Israelites that were at the bottom of Mount Sinai. And because they were desperate and they were uncertain, where is Moses? They decided to make a golden calf. And to this golden calf, remember, God took them out of Egypt from slavery so they could worship him. He's taking them to the promised land. But now what do these people decide to do is to make a golden calf. They're stealing God's glory, his worship, and they're giving it to this calf. And they start worshiping this calf and start getting all excited. So God said to Moses, go down and see what your people are doing. And when he came down there, we know the story, that because of what they did, 3,000 fell on that day. So it's a violation. This is against the law of God, trying to find a shortcut, trying to find the easy way. And so I grew up very humble in this little place where I came from. And my father was actually a brother in the monastery, you know. But he did not continue on to priesthood. Otherwise, I would not be here today. But he taught us many things. And one thing I remember, he said, a liar is a thief, and a thief is a murderer. And we see that those are the things that cause us. A liar is a thief, and a thief is a murderer. And we see in the beginning of time that God created everything. And whatever he created, he said it is good. And then whatever he created for man to subdue, that is to control, and also to replenish. Whatever he uses, he can replace. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Everything God did was good. And he wanted us to say, don't worry, be happy. Life is good. But we see that the enemy, since the beginning of time, he wanted to commit high treason. He wanted to steal God's glory. And so Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He was cast out of heaven. But his plan A was stopped. So he went to plan B. And his plan B is to convince man to follow him and to disobey God. And we see today what's going on in the world around us. That's what his plan was. And if we go back to John 10:10, I got my scripture up there. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. Yeah. Have you got the New King James Version there, man? Yeah, anyway. So, we look back in the book of Genesis, and we see Genesis 6, chapter 5, and God saw that man's heart was evil continually. During the days of Noah, they were just beyond. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants people to continue just being evil. And if we turn that word evil around, it's live. That's what God wants for us, is to live and to have life, and life more abundantly, forevermore. But we see that during the days of Noah, what was the end result of that evil continually? Their life was short-lived because they would not relent. They just kept going and doing everything. And we see today it's similar. We have corruption. Corruption is throughout the world, where people have resources, like in high positions, government positions. But instead of managing it, they're looking for something to go into their pocket. And that is stealing. We have hacking. People can hack your account. Why? It's all stealing. Scammers on the online, they just know how to get in. Bank robbers, you put on the news, it's just people broke in to the shop and just took whatever they want. The enemy is the driving force behind this corruption at this time. And we need to know that is not God's plan. That is not what God intended for us. That is what the enemy wants, and that's what he wants us to do. And let's go to Romans chapter 8. That is a bit small there, eh? Might have to put on my glasses for that one. Can we read it together, church? There is therefore now no condemnation. Those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak in the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sin. Yep. Amen. So, what we see that before the law, the people had no conscience of sin. Right? But when the law came about, now they could see, oh no, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not murder. Now they were aware. Hey, now if we do these things, now we got to pay the price. But nowadays, after Jesus Christ came onto this earth, died, and rose again, we have the Spirit. The Spirit of life has set us free, all right, from the law of sin and death. It's our faith in Jesus Christ that is able to separate us from that flesh. You see, it's the flesh that's the driving force that's sending these people to do this sin, committing this violation. And we've got to walk in the Spirit. Because if we walk in the Spirit, we're able to resist the devil and to not follow after the lust of the flesh, because that is the driving force that the enemy is driving. And Second Corinthians. Yep. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The enemy is actually trying to steal our testimony. He's trying to take away what we are standing for. And it brings me back also to a time back in South Africa where I just finished built our house, and it was still new. You could see the paint and the driveway, and everything was looking good. And one night, a very cold winter's night, we were in bed, and I heard the dogs barking very loud, and then all of a sudden, they start barking soft. So it's like somebody's chasing them, you know? When they come near, and the next thing, they chase them away. And then I tried to get out of bed. It was really cold at night, and there was like a hand pushed me down. And this happened 3 times. When I heard a noise, I actually tried to get out, but I just felt something pushing me back. Got up in the next morning, did my usual routine, leaving for work. We start early at about 6 o'clock. As I'm leaving the house, the clock on the wall, I usually look at the clock. I look at the clock, it's not there. Sometimes things move around in the house. You know, our wives, they're always moving things around. So it's like, she must have just moved the clock. And then I open the door, but the key is in the door. I know I always lock that door, but now the door is just open by itself. I said, no, something was wrong. But I closed it, went to work, 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock, I got a phone call from my wife, crying on the phone. Oh, no, everything is stolen in the lounge. Everything, TV, videos, children's games, trophies we had, you know, from the sports. They cleaned up completely. And then I'm like, wow, all right. Came back. Yes, the police were there, and they checked everything. So it was 2 weeks later, I'm laying in the lounge, just pondering on this, that I'm a believer. The people around here all know that I believe I serve the Lord. How come now that I'm the one that the house got broken into and everything got taken? And while I'm laying, I hear the knock on the door. But, you know, there's normally a knock. But when you hear a bang, then you know, no, something's wrong. That was very loud. And I open the door. It's a police. Oh, can you come and see something in the vehicle? Come there. They say, look, there's some items. Can you identify anything? Then I seen a picture there. That's the picture we had on the wall of the horses drinking water, big painting. Said, yeah, I know, I recognize. They said, no, that's okay. Long story short, all our things came back within 2 weeks. The police said, no, we can't believe this. They said, have a look at this table full of files. Some of them up to 2 years. They couldn't even get a start. But within 2 weeks, everything was back. And I said, no, I'm a believer. I serve the living God. Gave them a little bit of money. I said, buy some cold drinks for yourself. This is the God that we serve. And the testimony that the enemy is trying to steal from each and every one of us. Because once he steals that, you lost your faith anymore. You know? And so we see what happens, that we must walk in the Spirit and trust the Lord with everything that we got. And we go to the story of the rich man. And we know that this rich man, he went on a journey. And what he did was he put his servant in charge And then after a long time, he came back. But when he came back, he found the servant waiting at the door. The servant was not trying to steal his goods or anything, because this was a rich man. He could have been trying to steal his stuff. He could have been treating the other servants spitefully or even sleeping around doing the wrong things. But no, he found the servant waiting. And we find this rich man was so overjoyed that he said to the servant, no, you hang around. You sit down. And he put an apron on and he decided to serve the servant. And you know, I just come back from South Africa. I went for a holiday. And when we got back, my son picked us up. And when we came home, the children were there. They had prepared a meal. It was so, you know, good to find they're waiting for us. And this is what God's plan is for us. We need to know he's going to come at any time. We need to be waiting. That, I think we can get the band to come up, brothers. We need to know that Jesus Christ is going to be coming back soon. And when he does come, he expects us to be waiting for him, for his return, so that he can do the same for us. That's what he said. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So where I am, that's where you will be with me also. So when he comes back, he wants to find us doing his business. Because if we do his business, then he will do. If we do God's business, then God will take care of our business. And his plan is that we live according to the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because these are the things that take place and what's going on in the world because of the violation. Because people are living according to the flesh. But how do we use these weapons of warfare that God has given us? We need to be found in the prayer meetings, the prayer groups, the cell, as Sister Helen said earlier, the cell group meeting. We need to have fellowship with one another. This way, we are strengthening ourselves with the Spirit, reading the Word daily, studying the Word, that we are able to stand. We need to put on the whole armor of God so that we give the enemy no chance, because he's out. You see, he only needs a small gap to get in. And when he gets in, he takes over. His plan since the beginning of time was to take over, but it didn't work. So now he's after you and I. And the only way he can do that is that if we follow the flesh and not the Spirit. Amen? Amen.